This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
But to continue in the frame of what I was talking about, Michael, we're trying to guess the technology of something that's 500, 1,000, 10,000 years ahead of us. They could manipulate matter in ways we couldn't even conceive of. I'm not talking about the Q continuum, but still.
Yeah. No, I agree. And clearly there's something. And even to get to the point where we can travel backward in time, we're going to need a new physics. We're at least going to need to meld quantum mechanics and the general theory of relativity, which we seem to still be a ways away from. But yeah, there could be aspects of the physical universe, time, especially as an emergent phenomenon. There's something deeper rooted there. It's non-quantized. It's something that we need to be able to understand in the context of space and change and forces that, yeah, I don't think we're anywhere close. So I don't claim to have the answer as to how they do it. Jack Sarfati has some ideas that he thinks could explain the way in which they actually manipulate space-time in these ways. He's team time travel as well. But I don't know. I'm not a physicist, so I can't say exactly what they're doing. But it does seem like they have some ability to warp space-time, at least in their general vicinity.
I have a whole problem. I mean, I'm still in the same place as last time we talked, because in that the whole time travel thing is just way too problematic. But when you were talking about the tic-tac there and how it might explain some of the performance characteristics of these objects, I have to admit that you're absolutely right if it happens to be the case that that is what they're doing, because then you don't have to deal with issues like G-forces and deceleration and inertia. You just, if you have the ability to just dial in a coordinate in space-time and just go there, none of those issues apply anymore. But I mean, in this situation, we're not just talking about distance, we're also talking about time, right? So, you know, when they're talking about these objects coming from almost up in orbit down to almost sea level in just a matter of seconds.
I think it was 3 seconds and
what they could be, right. What they could be doing is not traveling through our existing space-time from up above the Earth down to sea level, but just dialing in the coordinate from where they are to where they want to be in space-time and just going from that coordinate to the other coordinate.
Yeah, and as we view it, as outsiders, outside that frame of reference, it would seem very different to us relative to what they're experiencing. And that's something that debunkers like to talk about. I've heard Mick West go on and on about the G-forces, but it's really not problematic if we view them in the context of a machine that's capable of manipulating space-time, which by all accounts they are.
From their perspective, they wouldn't even really be moving.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd just be popping in and out of existence at particular coordinates where they need to be.
Exactly. Jerry Wills has described the same thing as Terry Lovelace, where they're being taken on a massive triangular craft up to a moon base on the other side of the moon, if it exists or not, who knows. But they describe feeling no acceleration whatsoever. They can see that they're moving, and they can see that they're moving very fast, but they feel no sense of movement, which could only be done in that context.
Well, look at any of the TV shows. I mean, even when they're going at warp factor 8, there's no acceleration in Star Trek or in Stargate SG-1 or any of these shows. They're also traveling in a craft where the gravitational field is self-contained.
Yeah, what is Alcubierre? I don't really know how to pronounce his name. Yeah. I've never heard it said, but yeah, that's it. You know, it's the idea of manipulating the universe. You need negative mass for that, which is something that's still pretty far off if it's even possible. But yeah, warping space in front and behind the craft. So That could play into it as well. Who knows?
I have so many problems with those theories. It's not like I haven't contemplated them. I've been into contemplating that stuff since I was a kid. And, you know, I look at all of this stuff in it, and there's just too many problems with it. I mean, even when you were talking about Novikov. Okay, so really, the only reason that there's no paradoxes in the Novikov self-consistency conjecture is because he's arbitrarily ruled them out as possibilities within the model. That's, if you read it, that's exactly what it says. So you don't have to believe me. I'm just saying, look, that's how it works. It works out that in that model, all of the paradoxes that are likely to happen are reduced to zero. They're just arbitrarily ruled out.
Well, that's not how mathematics works, though. They're talking about probabilities in the context of these different models.
Well, that is how the math works, though. That's how they made the math work. See, we got into this last time, math is a description. It's essentially an art form. It describes things. It's a way of looking at things. It isn't necessarily the reality itself. There may be no block universe at all. It may be completely different. That's we possibly. Actually don't know. Yeah. So, you know,
and I just acknowledged that earlier in the show, saying that we don't yet know.
Exactly.
But what I'm trying to do is just offer a simple model based on the fact that we are here now. We know we're here, and we're likely to be here or somewhere in the future. We don't know about other beings on other planets, and there's really not much likelihood that they would look anything like us, even if they did happen to find us and travel here. So in the context of a simple explanation, it's hard to deny that one involving something that we know is here and is likely to have more advanced technology in the future is one that involves less speculation.
Maybe. Depends on the model. But, we could get into that a little bit more as we sort of maybe near the end of the show, I suppose. But how much time have we got left here, Gene?
Well, right now you're on segment number 9 out of 12. And then if he does the premium show, we can do more of that.
Well, that sounds okay. Well, maybe we could get into a little bit more of that later. But for now, sort of sum up where you're at and where you'd like to see this go in the future for you.
Well, I'm at a place where I am trying to balance a lot of different things. I guess we just moved, and I haven't moved since I took the job at Montana Tech 11 years ago, and turns out moving's a big pain in the ass, and I totally forgot about that. Also parenting obviously takes time. Teaching, I actually teach at 2 different universities here. Writing a new book. COVID has helped in the sense that I was doing a lot of conferences and TV and movie stuff before, and that's freed some time up. But I feel like for me and my advocacy for this model, and I'm certainly not the only one. In fact, the whole first section of my book is talking about all of the many other people who have had the same idea and have been putting it out there in one form or another over the last really 30, 40 years almost. But my role in this, what I'm trying to do is not just advocate for a time travel model, but also bring legitimacy to the study of UFOs and show that we can have testable hypotheses, which this model is, and we can also talk about these things without it having to be plagued by stigma and the ridicule that's followed it around for so long. And I continue to do that while also still trying to balance some sort of normal life. So I would say for me, you know, just slow and steady wins the race. Just kind of carry on and do what I can, but, you know, not try to do too much too fast or too little and take too long. But hopefully, you know, over the next 5, 10, 15 years, we can continue to not just discuss this as a viable model that should be considered in association with the extraterrestrial hypothesis and others, but just that more people are talking about UFOs and that we're bringing this into the mainstream and that more scientists, more of my colleagues are taking this seriously and trying to figure it out.
We've got more to come with Michael, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
That is interesting that more and more academics are taking it seriously. Let's personalize this. What do your students think about you? Do they think, oh, that's that crazy professor who wants to run around in a wave rider or something?
No, not at all. I was told by the chair of my department that I have the the highest student evaluation of instructor scores of anyone on campus. My chancellor, the dean, the chair of my department, they all really respect what I'm doing. And they've read my work, not just this book, but other papers I've published in very well-respected journals. And, you know, when I teach class, I actually got asked to teach a class about UFOs for the honors department last year, which I thought was a testament to just how seriously they take this and how interested they are in this research, that they even wanted to construct a whole class for the smartest kids on campus to go through chapter by chapter in the book and, like Randall, just pick it all apart and say it's crap. but no, I think it's great. And no, I'm not seen as a crazy person at all. And it's quite the opposite. They're really excited about the attention that Montana Tech gets, and they're excited about the research. And yeah, I'd say it's the opposite. If anything, it's really helped legitimize the subject on our campus and around Southwest Montana in general. And I'm hopeful that that same effect will also prevail in other parts of the world as we continue to move forward with this topic.
Absolutely. I think that is just fabulous. We've got some other people, like the people with the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies. We've had Professor Paul Kingsbury on. Imagine you've probably heard of him from Simon Fraser University, and he takes a very similar approach to you. It is really, really nice to see the academic minds opening up and considering the possibilities to explain the phenomena. Because by now, I think any reasonable, open-minded person would have to admit that the phenomena is real. And like you were saying, well, how do we explain it?
Mm-hmm.
It is an enduring mystery. It is something worth thinking about, especially if you have a brain.
It is. That's what scientists are supposed to be doing, is trying to figure out the world around us. And yeah, I was really hopeful when the Pentagon confirmed the reality of those three videos, FLIR, GoFast, and Gimbal, I think, on April 20th last year. I really thought there would be a rush to study this, and that there would be this flood of researchers that are like, hey, let's try to figure this out. These are real. Nothing. Still crickets, yeah. And it's extremely frustrating.
You know, we do need the skeptics, though, still. I blatantly say I'm a believer, which is as anti-scientific as you can get. But after going through, well, I'm not even sure if you would call it research, but the information that's out there in the world in various books and videos and talking to people in person for decades and having had an experience myself where I've seen one of these things, I go, yeah. There's no question in my mind that they are real. But that doesn't mean that every case is. You know,
like you said, it's not a belief system. You know, we don't use the term believe in evolution anymore because it's a proven fact. It's very, very easy to prove with Hardy-Weinberg equilibrium and just studying a change in allele frequencies. We can see evolution happening. So we don't say, do you believe in evolution? We talk about the process. And it should be the same with this. Do you believe in UFOs? Do you believe in aliens? If there is objective evidence or very highly trained military personnel, fighter jet pilots, the Pentagon, who oversees all of this, saying these things are real, that question's off the table. That's not even something that we should be asking anymore. I've never had an experience. I've never even seen a light in the sky that could be confused for a UFO or something anomalous. But I still look at all of the objective reality of this phenomenon and say, this is a real thing. And I guess I forget sometimes that that's not necessarily how people view the world. And I think it's important. We need believers. We need skeptics, as you say, but we also need people to just look at the facts and make informed decisions based on that.
Now, right. Of course, the big problem I have here is if there's an agreement with our future visitors, with governments, why bother to investigate, or is that just a cover-up?
Investigate the phenomenon, like UFOs?
Yes, I mean, if we already are in communication with them, we've made a deal they can kidnap some of our people so that they can refresh their gene pool, whatever it is. Why investigate? We already know the answer.
Mm-hmm. I was actually just talking about that with somebody recently. That same question arose. Also, why are we still investing so much in rocket technology if we're getting technologies that allow us to operate machinery, aerial machinery, in ways that don't involve that? Why is Elon Musk and SpaceX and, you know, the NASA still investigating and developing these technologies if they're going to be obsolete? But I don't know. Like, I think that that's a valid interpretation, some sort of cover for something that is deeper. But again, why? Why cover up something that you're trying to cover up? Why talk about this in this context if you're trying to not get people to talk about it? It's definitely weird. And it's one of the reasons why I don't necessarily subscribe to any claim that the U.S. military is directly working with these entities, whether they be from time or space.
So they're as, shall we say, mystified as we are.
I think so. I think at least historically, maybe it's changed recently, but I think historically it was just they didn't want to be caught with their pants down and have to explain to people that this is real. They don't want to get caught with their pants down and say, we have no idea what the heck these things are. It makes them look bad. It creates panic and fear within the populace who's supposed to be protected by these governments from threats, internal and external. So for me, I tend to default to that explanation, that I think they're just trying to not make it look like they don't know what's going on. But I don't know. There's probably only a handful of people in the world or in the U.S. government that do know. The rest of us are just left to speculate.
Well, this particular article from Debrief that we mentioned towards the beginning of the show, their basic premise is that the government hasn't taken it seriously or does to a certain level, but so long as there's no immediate danger, they just rather leave it within the noise. It's just something else that we occasionally have to deal with, and we will, and then maybe people will stop talking about it, and then we don't have to deal with it. We can stick it in Warehouse 13 with the Roswell ship, or the Ark of the Covenant, or any of, 10,000 other artifacts? You never know. You never know what's going to happen. What is going to happen, by the way, is that Michael's going to be back on after the Paracast for Paracast Plus subscribers. Check the Paracast.plus for more. More to come with... That's another pop culture connection that probably most people do not even remember what the TV show Warehouse 13 was. But I thought it was fun. There you go. More to come with Randall, Gene, and Michael, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The impeachment trial for former President Donald Trump will begin the week of February the 8th, according to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Critics say the impeachment trial could delay work Congress needs to get done. When it comes to impeachment, Senator Bob Casey believes the Senate will be able to multitask. The Pennsylvania Democrat tells Fox News that the Senate should be able to run a trial at the same time they're trying to work on more COVID relief and approving a number of President Biden's nominees.
Not this week, because this week will just be formalities, but starting February 8th, we have to go through and process an impeachment trial. But I still think even in that week, and I think it's probably going to be, I hope it's just that week or 10 days, in the mornings we can get things done, whether it's nominations or committee meetings or otherwise.
This is USA Radio News. After the scrutiny that Georgia's election system came under last year, many have called for changes to the way that Georgia handles absentee ballots. Governor Brian Kemp tells Fox News that he's for a proposal to require photo ID for absentee voters.
We know there's a lot of frustration out there. I think it's incumbent on us as policymakers to listen to people's frustrations, but also at the end of the day, make sure that we have secure, accessible, and fair elections in the state and that people have confidence in that. I believe doing the photo ID requirement on absentee ballots by mail will help accomplish that. But there's many other things that I've been talking to the legislators about that we'll be looking at and debating this year, and hopefully we'll have bipartisan support, because I don't know who would not be for having secure, accessible, fair elections and making it easy to vote and hard to cheat.
This is USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
This is Micah Hanks of the Graylin Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So if we're looking at it that way, Michael, maybe it is that the government has to be forced kicking and screaming into recognizing it. Oh, it's just something that's happening. We don't want to deal with it. So let's just close the books. And when forced into it, as obviously they were with the Pentagon UAP task force, we have to at least pretend to do something about it.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something to consider, and it is very likely what's happened. But I don't know. I wish I did. I wish I had some good friends high up in the military who I could call up and say, hey, what's going on with UFOs, and get a direct answer. But I don't have that kind of access, unfortunately.
Well, the thing that bothers me also about statements from former government officials like Chris Mellon and John Podesta, who certainly had plenty of ins within the government, they want an investigation. If they're in the government and have the power, if you're a chief of staff or you're an intelligence official, you know, probably you can get the information. I assume even the president ought to be able to get the information. And, of course, we have this argument with President Trump. People hate it when I mention any political figure, but that is whether he could just release anything that's top secret as President of the United States and Commander-in-Chief. And the answer is he can. So when we wonder here whether a president can reveal the truth about UFOs, certainly you can say, give it to me and I will do what I want with it and you can't stop me.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people speculate about some deep state thing, that where presidents are let in on a secret but can't necessarily be trusted because they come and go. You know, like what happens in 4 or 8 years after they're gone? What happens to the information? Is it disseminated? Do they, you know, divulge everything on their deathbed when there's no ramifications anymore? I don't know. It would make sense that there would be, but it's hard to tell. I think Trump said he was debriefed on UFOs, so, you know, maybe they clue him in on something at least.
Well, certainly now without his Twitter account, he can't tell anybody.
But would he anyway, like you said? Would he if he did know? And in the UFO community, everybody's always like, well, this is going to be the president. This is going to be the president. And I've only been fully immersed in this community for the last year and a half, but I've followed it for a while, and they always say that, and it never happens.
Well, the thing is also, is it possible that when the president takes office, somebody comes in there with a briefcase and says, Mr. President, we need to tell you a few things. And then he says, you know, we've got to have some kind of program to tell the public. And they say, do you remember John Kennedy? And that ends the discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like Clinton said, he tried to get to the bottom of it. Something else he also said is that he's not the first one who's tried.
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter
did too. I remember Carter saying he looked into it.
Right. You know, so Dr. Masters, I mean, that is definitely a possibility that because, like you say, these people are transitory compared to whatever this phenomena is that has been around, well, as long as we have, which is kind of another interesting thing that kind of fits in with your theory.
Oh, you're going to give me one, huh? All right.
He did this to me last time, too. I mean, when you think about it, we can go all the way back to the pictographs and so on and the ancient legends. And it kind of fits in with the whole thing. It's very seductive in its own way, but, I'm still...
You have a very love-hate-love relationship with this model. Don't worry, you'll come around.
Well,
just give it time, Randall.
What I really like about it is the way that it makes us think about our relationship between ourselves and whoever these aliens are.
Yeah.
Because I think that we could explain the same things using an extraterrestrial hypothesis in just as simple a way, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's accurate either. But either way, it gets us looking at this relationship that you've identified between the aliens and ourselves as beings on this planet. And that it's pretty hard to deny those relationships when you get looking at it from the perspective that you have, which is from an anthropological perspective, and going, well, it's just not that likely that you would get humanoids that look virtually human but are aliens coming to visit us unless there was a direct connection.
Yeah, and that's obviously the main place I've started from, and the main focus of identified flying objects was to show that morphological connection and cultural as well. Many of the things that people report seeing in these crafts are devices that almost seem to be have grown out of things that we currently use. And I don't know, does that indicate a connection, a cross-cultural evolutionary connection, or is it just coincidence? Like I said, I'm still open to other interpretations.
Well, what about the case here? Let's just assume that, okay, so the block universe model is the way that the universe that we're in, there maybe are other block universes as well, but whatever the case, let's just assume that that's the case for the one that we're in, and therefore things are pretty much set in stone. It's already happened, so at some point in the future, we actually do figure this out and are able to travel. We're actually technically not traveling back in time because it's already happened. It's just simply the way it is and the point of view of whatever the intelligences are at the time are able to look at that particular slice of that block universe. And that gives them the impression that they're traveling, but it's not really travel because it's all pretty much one big block that is simply the way that it is and has been and always will be. And, of course, everybody must bring this up. You know, what does that say to our concept of free will and self-determination? Mm. Now, when we find this out, at some point, if we assume that this is correct, we're all going to know that this is the way that it is. And we're all going to have to live with this idea that, well, we're not self-determining our future. We're all victims of circumstance that has been written into stone, and it's never, you know, what's the point?
That's so hyperbolic. That's not, and unfortunately, that's a lot of people's first reaction when hearing about the block universe. Oh, there's no free will. Hogwash. You still make decisions. You still do things in the way that creates your outcome. It's just at the end of it, looking back, there was only one outcome. It doesn't change what free will is or the sense that we create those things. We're still creating them. It's just what we were always going to do in the first place. It doesn't mean that it's predestined or somebody else laid it out. We're still in control of our own existence.
But that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if it's already set out into the future, right? The block universe is already set into the future, then we're not creating anything. It's already been created. We're just experiencing it as we somehow...
I disagree. It's about perception at that point. It's how you perceive that creation of events.
Right, it is exactly. It's just is whatever, and this is another thing we don't know how to explain, is how consciousness is able to be aware of all of this, whatever it is anyway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we assume that this is a block universe, then there are a whole bunch of consequences that, and this just happens to be one of them. Yes, it's set out in a way that makes it look like we're making decisions, and it's a very powerful illusion, and like we talked about in our previous discussion, I'm pretty much of the opinion that most of our, what we think is decision making and choice making isn't really free in the way that most people think it is. It's already predetermined subconsciously before we ever make the choice. It's already made.
You know, so, what? Let's make this decision right now and come back for another segment with Michael, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542. 5542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Randall, so everything is predetermined. You're telling me anyway. The decision's already been made. We're just going through the motions?
That's how this block universe idea would be set out. But, I mean, even if it's not, I mean, whole idea of free will is still a separate subject. I don't really think that we have free will in the sense that most people assume that we do. It's a beautiful illusion. We could have that same sort of beautiful illusion in the block universe model until somebody comes along in the future that is already laid out, because obviously if these are time ships that are coming back through time, somebody has figured it out, and therefore there will be a time in the future where we all know it's already been set out, it's already been the way it's going to be, and that's just the way that it is, and we have to learn to accept that.
Randall, it doesn't mean necessarily that we know what the outcome is going to be, only that the outcome is maybe already determined, but that also covers a religious point of view, that we're fulfilling our destinies.
Well, exactly. If we know, Dr. Masters, like you were saying, that this is a testable hypothesis, right? In other words, at some point in the future, we're going to know whether or not it's true or false.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we get to the point where it's no longer just a theory or a conjecture, and we go, yeah, we know this is the case, it's already been all set out, these people's lives were already crystallized in this block universe, and so are theirs, for that matter. Once that is known, then maybe that's why the governments, if they know this already, don't want us to know now. Because, you know, because otherwise everybody's going to become they're just going to lose their interest in and motivation in doing anything. And that's the last thing a government wants is to be told, well, it doesn't matter what you do. It's all going to be the way it is anyhow.
Well, therefore, they still have to do something. They just can't sit in the bed and say, okay, well, my future is predetermined. I will do nothing and see it happen. Yeah. They have to do something.
In mass apathy, can you imagine? I mean, there's only probably one thing worse than mass revolution, and that is mass apathy.
But it's not like that. We still have stimulus. We still have a reason to get out of bed. We still enjoy walks through the woods. Many people enjoy their jobs, going to work and socializing, interacting with people. I'd like to say two things. One, this time travel model isn't predicated on a block universe. Like I said earlier, I used the block universe model to explain how this might work in the book, because it is the current dominant model among physicists to explain the universe around us. But even if it is the many worlds interpretation, that doesn't change this extratempestrial model. It doesn't change who they are as us coming back through time. It's just the effect of coming back is different. Rather than self-consistency, there's different timelines, and that's very possible too. So in your worst case scenario with future apathy, that's only related to the block universe, but if that's already the dominant model in physics, we should already have that. Physicists shouldn't want to get out of bed. They shouldn't want to do anything because their understanding of the universe is that it's already like that. So why does it matter if the world as a whole is more aware of that in the future? And again, I'd like to draw a clear separation between this time travel model and that aspect of it, because it very well could be that there's multiple worlds and multiple timelines, in which case none of that would apply in the first place. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, very true. Absolutely. But then if we always say, just consider the idea of mass apathy, it's not like everybody's going to necessarily rise up and go, okay, the aliens are here. Now we want all the answers. We want to know where they're from. We want all their magical technology. It might become the case that whether it's a block universe or not, or whether or not they're coming here, through time, it may be the case that we find out that we're some third world compared to them.
We're just the primitives, and ET or our future visitors don't really think that much of us. The other thing I'm wondering here about our perceptions of time, are you familiar with a movie called Arrival, with Amy Adams plays a linguist trying to communicate with these extraterrestrials who somehow communicate through time?
That's interesting. No, I'm not familiar with that, but I'm writing it down right now. Is it on Netflix? Can I go watch it later?
It's on something. I got in a special deal that Amazon was offering. I can look up right now as to whether it is or not.
I've got Amazon Prime and Netflix, so between the two, I'm sure I can find it.
Okay. So Arrival is... the Blu-ray version is $4.99. You can stream it with... oh, I own the movie, so I can't determine whether or not it would cost anything. The 4K version is $19.99. Anyway, it's worth seeing because it's one of those movies that you have to think.
Yeah,
you can't just sit there and accept and what happens like you can with most sci-fi. This is something where you have to think about the possibilities, because here they're communicating in time. And once she understands that, I guess she herself is able to see events from the future.
Huh. That's really interesting. It kind of reminds me of the Tralfamadorians from Kurt Vonnegut's book, Slaughterhouse-Five. That same sort of scenario where these aliens see all moments at the same time and communicate in different ways because of that.
Well, that would take also the concept of maybe time, of course, is an illusion. There is no time. It's only our perception of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Therefore, there's no problem going from one time stream to another. You just have to change your perspective. Mm-hmm. There was a movie with Christopher Reeve where he goes back through time to meet the woman that he becomes obsessed with. And it's like he wills himself to go back.
I think I've seen that. I think I actually watched that with my parents when I was really young. Sounds super familiar.
It was a movie that was made right after Superman. He wanted to do something where I think he wanted to demonstrate what a serious actor he was.
Yeah.
And therefore he did this movie right after he did Superman. The movie's called Somewhere in Time.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
That's the movie. Jane Seymour plays this woman from the late 19th century. And he falls in love with her, goes back through time, and then the illusion is spoiled because he looks at his watch by mistake.
Yep.
It's something of our current time, and therefore it destroys the illusion.
And it rips him away, and he's like really panicked and saddened by that, I remember.
We can do a lot more. I'm going to have Michael with us for a while on After the Paracast for more discussions. In the meantime, for those who want to know more about the things you do, where can they check you out?
Well, I've got a website, which is a shortened version of the title of the book, I'd Fly Obj idfly.com, IDFLYOBJ. At idflyobj.com, IDFLYOBJ.com. And it's got links to where you can find the book, info about an upcoming book, and lectures and interviews and things like that.
Good stuff. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast on Facebook. They haven't banned us yet because we're just the Paracast. After all, what do? You can get branded merchandise at theparacast.shop. That's theparacast.shop. Four different logos, the t-shirts, everything. Good prices, great quality merchandise. All sizes from little tiny people, children, to big, tall people over 7 feet. You're a basketball player, you can buy this stuff. Theparacast.shop. We also have the Paracast Plus, where we offer this show free of the network ads with better quality audio, and the After the Paracast podcast, where Dr. Masters will join us, and you can subscribe for prices beginning at $1.50 a week. For long-term subscriptions, 5-year or lifetime, we give you a coupon code for a download for The Phenomenon, the James Fox UFO documentary, and 3 hours of extras. Check out the Paracast dot plus, the Paracast dot plus. Dr. Michael Masters, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It's great talking to you guys, as always.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.